Welcome to a Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. We are so excited today to have three wonderful guests. They are Sherry Payne, Suse Green, and Joyce Vincent, formerly of the Supremes. Stop in the Name of Love, and you will love these ladies, the only trio performing today with two genuine members of the Motown Recorded Supremes. Sherry Payne performed with Diana Ross on the Return to Love tour and now continues to perform all over the world, bringing back wonderful memories of the greatest female group ever. They have appeared with Tom Jones, The Four Tops, James Brown, The Temptations, and at Wembley Arena, the Royal Albert Hall, and QE2. From Where Did Our Love Go to You Can't Hurry Love and Stoned Love, and every hit in between, there is no other group authentically performing the Supremes hits like this trio. The history of Motown and the Supremes continues with Sherry Payne and Suse Green, formerly of the Supremes. And today, those ladies are also joined with us by Joyce Vincent. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So I'm just going to jump into some questions here and let our audience get to know you a little bit. Of course, everyone was so excited when they found out that we were going to have you on the show today. And I mean, from my nephew, who is 13, all the way up to my grandfather, who is 82, like, yeah. And everywhere in between. And they all started to sing their favorite Supreme songs. And so I'm wondering, what is it like to be part of a group that transcends time like that?
Mm.
Wow.
That's a good question, isn't it? The transcending time thing is pretty phenomenal. you don't think about it.
Sure,
it's not something that you really think about. But the music is so relevant and so fresh. It was so beautifully recorded, mm-hmm. so beautifully produced, and it makes people get up and it inspires them. And I think that's, you know, those same things about all of us. Mm-hmm. That's what makes people still yeah. love it, you know.
Right. Mm, and it was so do. Positive and had melodies you could hum or sing along to. You didn't forget the melody. You could hum a melody and instantly you knew the song or you knew the group.
Yeah.
By the voices you could identify. It's just timeless. Like you said, timeless music.
It sure is. Yes. What is one of your most memorable moments performing together?
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Thousands, right?
There's so many memories. I mean, we played so many vast audiences and fabulous audiences all over the world, in Japan and Malaysia.
Oh, yes.
South Africa. All those are just embedded into my memory. And I don't think I can mm-hmm. pick one particular instance because they were all fabulous.
They were all fabulous.
It's true.
Fabulous.
I think, you know, when we went to England last, that was a very special time. We had just been to Dubai. That was pretty special too, being on the QE2. But for me, when we came back into England, that show, we were able to see people that we have seen at shows for more than 40 years that you've never met in person.
Right.
You know, people who have followed you, you've seen them online or mm-hmm. talked to them through the years. And it still really surprises you. It still just fills you up, you know. They're mm-hmm. out there and they know all the lyrics, you know.
You know, better than us.
That's right. And they it's music. It's mm-hmm. music that changed people's lives, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is
right.
beautiful.
Right.
It sounds
That's
like
true.
Travel was one of your favorite things.
Oh, that Absolutely. Was one of the exciting things. Yeah, to travel, especially coming from Detroit, and I'd never been any farther than, say, Canada or Puerto Rico, to finally be on a plane going to, say, our Australia or
yes.
something
oh,
like
yeah.
Hong Kong, it's like, wow, I'm really doing this. Like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's true. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's the hardest part to me about now is not traveling as much. Yeah. You know, I love to travel. And I mean, I travel, I've been almost everywhere. There are places I haven't been, of course, but because of our careers, for if you can imagine that, because you sing, you're able to go all around the world and meet people everywhere, and they love the same stuff you do. You realize how many commonalities we have as human beings. It's pretty fantastic.
You're right.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Speaking of the traveling and where you guys are from, how did you get into the music industry? And did you have a desire to do this work?
I did. My dad was a musician.
Okay.
And there was always music in my house. So I just knew from a little girl that that was something that I wanted to do.
Okay.
I think I did too. Yeah.
So, you know, it's been wonderful.
It's a passion, you know. It's something that is a part of you. When I was a little bitty girl, I would sing in the bed, you know. It comes from your spirit. Like my granddaughter, who's six, sings all the time. Mm. Yeah, and I know that it's in her heart. Mm-hmm. But my parents were both in show business. My mom was a terrific pianist and singer in her own right. My dad was a wonderful singer. I think I really got my singing talent from my dad. You know, he instilled that in us, that music was something that was almost sacred, you know.
Mm. Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh. And your mother was such a fantastic musician as well as a singer. Oh, she was fabulous.
Sure.
Now, for me, neither parent could sing. I guess I tell people, my sister and I prayed, we got it from God, from the Lord. Mama could not sing, Daddy could not sing either. And growing up, we didn't grow up singing in the church. Like most people think black people sang in the church. We never sang in the church.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But around the house, we played music, and Frida always wanted to sing. She knew that's what she wanted to do. I, on the other hand, I didn't know. I mean, I loved, my favorite singers were Billie Holiday and Gloria Lynn. Those are my idols growing up. And I would go down the recreation room and turn on the 3-color pole lamp and put on either Billie Holiday or Gloria Lynn album. And for that moment, I became Gloria Lynn or Billie Holiday.
Oh,
then after when Frida graduated from high school, she immediately went on the road with Pearl Bailey. I, 2 years later, I went to Michigan State because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I said, I want to be a doctor, a pediatrician. That sounded good to my mother.
Sure, of course.
I started off in pre-med, and then 2 years later, I ended up in medical technology, and that's what I graduated in, a Bachelor of Science in Medical Technology. When I came home, I didn't want to do a year internship in a hospital because I knew I didn't want to be a med tech, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I taught school for 3 years, and then from there, things started to change.
That's fantastic.
I should say they did.
Indeed.
Well, Sherry, I'm so glad that they did. And I think that's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners who feel obligated sometimes by what they think that they should do, or the expectations of, you know, family members or society to take a certain path, but their soul is really calling them to something much greater. And so, I'm glad that you shared that.
Had I known I was going into show business as a singer, I would have, instead of majoring in medical technology, I should have been majoring in music.
Music. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you had that natural talent. You know, you did. You always had that same. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I met both of you. And Joyce was introduced to me by Sherry, you know. Mm. So it's kind of, it's just in your soul.
Yeah.
And it's a natural thing. If you think about it, people who take lessons and learn music, you know, either they have it or they don't. It's not something you can teach someone how to sing, but you can't make them great. you know? Mm-hmm. Only they can do that if they have the will mm-hmm. and the determination and the talent. It's
that's
theirs,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely.
So,
that's true.
Who of your group is the feistiest, would you say?
Tuesday.
Sherry.
I think so too. Sherry.
It's no doubt. There's no doubt. It's Sherry. Feisty, you know, I'm more energetic than I'd say feisty, you know. But Sherry, you know, we got the whole Sherry back. I'm thinking of it's not to fight or something like that, but I remember Sherry was telling me about when they went to South Africa and apartheid was still going on at that time. And Sherry was filming, you know, was filming all over. Because as you would, you when you go to these places, you want memories, particularly someplace where there's such political upheaval and turbulence among the culture.
Right.
And wasn't the films taken from you or taken when you were ready to leave the country? But you know, I was thinking, oh, I'd love to have seen.
Oh, Sherry had to say, nice.
I got the like, videotapes back. I sure did. I'm down to the and I raised hell. And the next morning, there was that bag filled with my videotapes on my bed.
There you go.
And I've got those videotapes to this day on DVDs.
Wow.
Nice.
But that was in 1975.
Definitely Sherry, though.
1975.
Was it really?
Yes.
Wow. That was just before I came in, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was like just before I came in the group. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to see in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we toured with Rufus Thomas. God, we had some experience. And I got to see, what's the island? I remember we went on a sightseeing tour on a day off. And I remember the promoter who was taking us out, he showed us this island way out in the ocean. And I can't think of the name. Was it Rikers? I can't remember. He said, there's a political prisoner out there by the name of Nelson Mandela.
Oh,
and I do. Wow. Mm. Yes.
That gives me chills.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sherry, you were the first member of the three of you.
But there's the history between the three of us.
Yes.
When Mary Wilson left the Supremes, we were looking for a third person, and we selected Joyce to be the next Supreme with us.
Yes.
And then something happened at the company. Some lovely ladies went to Berry Gordy and said that they wanted the Supremes to end if there wasn't an original member. And that's what happened, you know? So even though the name had been licensed to us and we were ready to go on with Joyce, which, you know, it's almost 40 years to the day Sherry asked and that me to join the group, this configuration, and there were the three of us again. So it was just destiny that we would get to perform
together.
I think
so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meant to be.
So, Suse, you mentioned one of your grandchildren earlier, and I'm wondering, and this is to all of you ladies, are your children and grandchildren also your fans?
Yes,
they better
absolutely.
Be.
They better be. I love that.
Well, they don't have to be. You know, they're a different generation, so they're entitled to what they like, but they love us, you know. They love Aunt Sherry and Aunt Joyce.
Yeah.
And every time we're rehearsing, they're trying to get in the room so they can sing with us. And, you know, they adore the idea of the Supremes. Hazel asked if she could have, this is yesterday, she asked if she could have music on her little phone. Aww. And I said, well, what do you want? She says, I want to sing Stuff in the Name of Love and Baby Love. So I'm like, yeah. They love, and they are, they're big fans. They want to be Supremes one day.
That's wow. Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Wow. Well, I can remember my daughter, who was 35, when she was in grade school, I think the second grade, and they had a talent contest at her elementary school, and she, along with three other little girls, were the Supremes. I have that on tape.
Yeah.
The name of love. They were
cute. Yeah.
35 now, almost.
What 35. I like is when we're rehearsing, yeah. You know, we rehearse at Susie's house, and her girls are just throwing up their hands, you know, to stop in the name of love right along with us.
Yeah. It's just, that's cute, right. You know? That's right. No, they love it. You know, like you say, that music just goes on and on and on.
Absolutely.
And it affects, we have a lot of new young fans, yeah. Which is wonderful, yes. Because it gives new true. Energy to our whole performance and to just the idea. You know, we're very active on social media. So we meet a lot of people from around the world of every age.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we don't see them,
yeah.
You know, we meet them online. I talk to a lot of people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I mean, it's a new world. And mm-hmm. We think about how, you know, when we were growing up, when Joyce was in Tony Orlando and Dawn, right? She was mm-hmm. an original member of Dawn. Mm-hmm. And we, mm-hmm. all of us, the three of us, even though we didn't grow up together, we had that similar respect for music and for the culture of music.
Oh, yes.
And right. That's something that goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy about
forever.
That.
Forever.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You ladies are so fabulous. How have you remained so fabulous and working in this industry? I know that it takes a lot of energy, and I know there's a lot of movement and traveling, yes. And photo shoots and performances. Like, what are mm-hmm. some of your routines that you do, or do you have any, I guess, like tips for staying so fit and fabulous?
I don't know about that. In the morning. I don't look so fabulous. It's like, dang.
but you do have this glamorous soul, Miss Payne. You know, you do.
Okay. Yes.
There's no denial. I mean, I think we're very proud to be out in front of people. And I personally love being glamorous. I love the fact that I'm a woman, that I have the opportunity to, you know,
yes.
doll up if I feel like it, or be down to earth if I feel like
yes.
it. But I love that. If I hadn't been in Supremes, I still would have been living a glamorous life, because I love that.
Yes.
And sometimes I wonder, what would I have been doing had I not been honored to become a member of the Supremes, if Mary Wilson had not chosen me? I've often wondered that, what would my path have been?
Mm. Yes.
I won't know, because, you know, it is what it is.
Yes, it is. It is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful.
Grateful. Sure. Isn't it funny? You know, I can say to the two of you ladies, when we step out on that stage, you know, we get all dressed up and we want to present ourselves in a particular way. Mm-hmm. And you kind of feel like, well, yeah.
You do. You know? You do. You're right. Yeah, you say.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I love that.
I do too.
Well, Juno, if you're just tuning in today, we have three very special guests. This is Christina Michelle, your host, and I am interviewing Susie Green, Sherry Payne, and Miss Joyce Vincent, formerly of Motown's The Supremes. We are going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, we're going to get into some questions about politics with these wonderful ladies. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. We'll be right back. And welcome to today's show, A Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration of KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno, and I am your host, Christina Michelle. And today we have the honor of interviewing Susie Green, Sherry Payne, and Joyce Vincent, formerly of The Supremes. Earlier in today's show, we were just getting to know the ladies a little bit. And now we're going to get into some questions about some of the things that are happening politically, the elections coming up. I would love to get some feedback from you ladies on some of the things that are going on. Before we get into the politics question, though, what is your opinion on what's happening right now with the surge of the Black Lives Matter movement?
Wow.
It's a loaded question, I know.
Yeah.
Good, though.
Yeah. I mean, we started protesting back in the 60s when I was at Michigan State with Martin Luther King, and it took all this time for the message to be taken in. Black lives matter. I mean, all lives matter, really.
Yes.
All lives matter, but we've suffered for so long.
That's true, that's true.
You know, Black lives matter also. Yeah. We've gone through so much.
Yes.
We've gone through so much, and it's not fair, the injustices that have been done. I mean, I've been called the N-word. I've been called a nigger in Las Vegas by a security guard at the Desert Inn Hotel.
Wow.
I'm so glad it's no longer there. He sure did. And I was so hurt by that because I'd never been called that name before.
Yeah.
My mother did not allow in our house, even, you know, in a jest way. You know, some Black people back in my parents' generation and even my generation, they would refer to each other, you know, nigger, so-and-so, as a term of endearment. It's not a term of endearment. Mm. It's a terrible word.
Yeah,
it's a terrible
word. Is.
And if you've been called that, you think about people who were lynched. Mm. The last thing they probably heard was that word.
Yes.
Die, nigger, die.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a strange time to live in,
in
any way you look at it. You know, we're in the midst of a global pandemic, and then we're in the midst of upheaval everywhere.
Yes.
There is not just in America. There's fighting all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's disagreement all around the world. But America was built by slaves.
That's right.
America has always had racism.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people are protesting around the world is it's a miracle. It really is.
Yes.
But it's caught a fire because
people
recognize that the times that we are in denote our actions.
Mm-hmm.
We got ourselves here one way or another, you know, through whatever, not fighting hard enough, not speaking up enough, being held back in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
People of color have suffered in America, and it's time for this to come to the fore.
That's right.
Absolutely the destiny of all of us to be here at time when this is happening.
That's right.
And I have to say, you know, we're at a point right now where we're ready to vote here in America.
Mm-hmm.
We're voting for our lives.
Yes.
Because
there
is injustice, there is hatred, there is race baiting, there is tremendous putting down of people, of our people.
Yes.
And it's more than a shame. You know, we have brought so much to culture, so much to the world. People appreciate what Black people have done and created.
That's
and
right.
And the very fact that here in our own country, we're not given the choice just to be human, just to have the same opportunities as everyone else.
That's right.
It's time.
That's right.
You know, it's all about that. We're here now because we have, through our own machinations, you know, having been born in this time. But what we do next is of the utmost importance.
That's right.
For all of us to stand together. And I truly believe, you know, when Black lives matter, all lives will matter.
Right.
I believe that to my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us has given our lives to uplifting and entertaining people. But when you go home and you take off the glamour and all of the accolades, you're a human being who feels and has family and wants a future for your grandchildren or whomever, for your family.
That's right.
The love that we have given out you know, makes us not any more special than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But surely when people come right. together, because the situation we're in right now, the pandemic has been to a great extent ignored by our government, by mm-hmm. our president, yes. who, if he would stand and put on a mask and say, this simple act will save lives, not just yours, but others. Mm-hmm. You know, right. there's so much selfishness yeah. and entitlement mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. makes people not want to just give people their due. Just mm-hmm. stand back and let us come to what we want to work for and want to live mm-hmm. for. It's only fair. And people who don't think it's fair, mm-hmm. if they don't think it's fair, believe me, they will pay through karma. They will pay through anger ooh, yes. and mm-hmm. dying early and all mm-hmm. of that. You know, there's a lot of pain and a lot of hurt that is to come to that's us. Right. Not just if we yes, stand with yes, the numbers yes. of people that are dying from this pandemic, people who are being selfish about it and not allowing others, I mean, ridiculing people on the street for having on a mask, yeah, protesting against sad. That, very against sad. Helping yeah. your fellow human beings. Exactly. It's a terrible time, and we all know it. Yeah. But you know what? You know, they say, I read yeah. today, that women over 60 around the world are tremendously anxious because we've been put in a category that says, okay, you're an older person and mm-hmm. you step back because mm-hmm. if it comes down to it, because we're in the middle of the second wave. I don't mm-hmm. care what color you are. It doesn't right. matter what that's color right. you are. If you can't survive, yeah. mm-hmm. if you can't stay alive. And there are groups growing in this country that are American terrorists.
That's right.
We have to deal with all of that. You know, that's we've right. got yeah, that to come true. Because mm-hmm. they simply will not give other people the chance to have an equal opportunity.
Right.
It's a ridiculous situation, but it's going to change yeah. because nobody is going to yeah. sit still. I know I'm not. Yeah. Not going to sit still and let people overrun you mm-hmm. just because you're a different no. color. Mm-hmm. That's some ridiculousness mm-mm. to the nth degree. And I don't care who knows it, Mr. Trump, the president of the United States, the leader so-called of the free world, mm-hmm. is not
yes.
behaving like a human being mm. with other human
yeah,
beings.
So true.
And mm-hmm. we want to see him voted out. If yes. I live to see that day, which is, praise God, hopefully, just another coming weeks, up, another couple of weeks, we'll know. But yes. I'm telling you, I will not stay in America. I will not stay in a land that my ancestors built and not right. have freedom, not it being able to you know, to just live your life. Yeah. It's right. ridiculous.
Right. We have to teach our sons, like my grandson, to who's 16, to be careful when you walk down the street if a policeman stops you. They'll be stopped more so than any 16-year-old white boy. We have to teach these young black men what to do, what not to do, keep your mouth closed or whatever, and don't act like you're reaching for something, because the police, 90% are fantastic. They're good people, but there's that small element that
that's small percentage.
The people side. That's right. That's right. But this whole world is having in the middle of a nervous breakdown. That's what I call
it. Okay. Yes.
And we have, like Suse said, we've made so many contributions that built this country. So many inventions were
built. That we didn't know about in the beginning.
Yeah. We didn't even know that's about right. it because they didn't even teach it in schools. It was more than just George Washington Carver and the peanuts.
Yes.
Yes.
More. So much more. And we made so many wonderful contributions. But it's like, for instance, this was about a month ago when my daughter's fiance was going to the Rite Aid drugstore pharmacy. And there was this white woman who was parked right in front of the entrance, and she was blocking the driveway, and people were coming out. It was at night, and they were telling her, "Miss, you need to move your car. We can't move." You know? And she wouldn't do it. She was very belligerent. And so my daughter's fiance, who's Haitian, and very well spoken, very well educated, he said so nicely, he said, "Madam, what would make you so miserable that you want to block the drive lane?" And she'd rolled down her window and stuck her hand out like she had a gun and went pow, 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 pow. And she said, come November 3rd, after Trump is reelected, all you lowlifes and niggers are going to be dead because it's already been planned. We're going to start killing.
Wow. That's what she
said.
Oh my gosh.
So there's so much hatred. Oh, and I believe since I call him number 45 has been in office, he's generated all this hatred. I mean, we already had it before, but it's been exacerbated since he's been in office, because that's what he represents. He's caused so much division within this country. I can't understand those who are supporters, but all I can do is say, you have my deepest sympathies.
Hmm. Yeah.
I already voted. I voted last week.
Bad.
Right.
There's a group of white supremacists that are forming. They're the biggest group of new American terrorists who don't care about Trump. They say if he loses, there will still be a race war. You know?
Right.
We are absolutely horrified by this train of thought.
Yes.
But it's what we're dealing with.
Yes.
You know, Americans tend to vilify people from other lands in the first place.
Right.
You know, it makes, I'm not sure the essence of it, except it's meant to be. You know, it's all there in the Bible. It talks about the breakdown, the separation of races, and the breakdown of society, the breakdown of culture. Mm-hmm. But there has to be a sensibility. I believe that this pandemic, which is a great equalizer, it hasn't cared about age. You know, all of the scientists have talked about the fact that it's not just people over a certain age. More and more children are dying. More and more teenagers are asymptomatic, but they are handing it out. You know, and it's not to put anybody in a category. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with trying to stay alive one way or another. If people are not cognizant of the fact that they're leaning on and bringing racism to the fore right now, instead of trying to deal with this, which surely by February, 500,000 people will have died in America from COVID. And those are numbers that are both horrifying and unbelievable.
Yes.
But, you know, it's all well and good to ignore what the science is. I'm very involved with the scientific community because of the Raw Science Film Festival. A friend of mine created it and runs it. And, you know, it's a terrible realization that people are willing to overlook what scientists are saying to socially you know, it's a simple thing, but it must be destiny. You know, it must be supposed to happen for all of this to go on at this time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we hunker down and we take care of each other. We take care of ourselves because we know our government, unfortunately, is not going to take care of us. They're not going to. They have announced through the White House chief of staff 2 days ago that they said, what are you doing about, what's the plan about COVID? There is no plan. We don't plan to do anything, is what this man said. So that means we have to look out for our own. We have to protect ourselves. If we have to duck and dodge bullets, that's fine. I'm serious. But look, one way or the other, we've got to survive.
Yeah.
So just like Malcolm X said, by any means necessary, we will survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that may sound harsh, but these are serious times unlike any other.
Yes.
And I promise you, wouldn't it be ironic if the seniors, the ones who listened to what it took, the simple things to wash your hands, to socially distance, to put on a mask, wouldn't it be ironic if the seniors were the ones who survived while other people were going out and partying, got to go to the bars, got to go to the clubs, got to go hang out in the streets and do house parties and ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. You know, where is the sense? People talk about being woke. I'm like, wake up.
Yes, wake up.
Yes. It's time. It's beyond time.
Yes. What difficulties do you recall for Blacks in voting in the 60s? that you think are still barriers today?
I personally didn't have a problem. I know one of my girlfriends told me that her, I think it was her aunt in Florida, I think this was in the, was it 2012 or 2016 election, and she was told that the poll where she was supposed to vote was closed, that she couldn't, there was some reason that she couldn't go vote, and it was all a lie. There was nothing wrong with the poll.
Wow.
Center. They just lied to her, so she couldn't go vote.
Oh my God.
There was a lot of that. Yeah, there was a lot of that blocking people. Mm-hmm. But in the 60s, you know, people, we were living through the sexual revolution, and we were living through the whole love thing. And people were kind of fired up anyway about civil rights.
Yeah, they were.
And about being, you know, freedom and the Constitution. That's why I have such a respect for the Constitution. There, it was a time when you respected a president and you respected the Constitution that built country.
Right.
And you knew that things were wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew there were people fighting, and the Supremes represent that sense of freedom. That's something that's not discussed very often, but they were involved in making doors open for people. Mm-hmm. That's really what Berry Gordy did with the Supremes. Mm-hmm. He opened doors for people that of color who had never performed in these fabulous clubs and hotels and things that white acts performed in.
That's
so
right.
From you know that they were affected. I mean, Mary was from Mississippi, and I know that Detroit had a lot of racial problems. Every city in America has had racial problems.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure did.
You know, people were more idealistic, I think, during the 60s. Now there's so much being jaded about, you know, are the people before us created this, you know? Mm-hmm. But okay, you've got to live through it. I'm like, come on, do something about it. Be proactive. Mm-hmm. Be the voice that you know you have. These are the times for the brave. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
These are the times for us to stand up for what we, that's right.
Yeah.
Make a difference.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned the problems at the polls, being told that they were closed and things like that. And that's something that I have heard myself happening even, you know, within the past 10 years, that's something that's still going on. What is your opinion on voting via absentee ballot, like mailing in, or now we have the option to even email our votes in? What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, it's probably good for those who don't have the advantage of going personally to vote in person. Mm-hmm. Like my daughter says, she's voting in person. She's going to actually go into a voting booth.
Yes.
A voting poll.
I, in turn, voted last Wednesday. I dropped mine into one of those ballot boxes. I didn't mail it at the post office. I used the box and put mine in. But it's so amazing because on the news today, it showed a couple of days ago, a couple of ballot boxes have been torched, deliberately torched by people. And today on the news, it showed where there were ballots strewn on the street.
Yes.
I don't know exactly where it was because they contacted one of the ladies whose ballot was on the street. And she said, my daughter and I just mailed our ballots yesterday at the post office, and showed the mailbox that they mailed it in. And here's her ballot on the street. So someone tampered with that mailbox. Mm. So they're doing everything they can. Everything they can.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot of that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's okay. People have voted in record numbers.
Yes.
Record numbers this time.
Yes, they have.
Yes,
they have.
So I have faith. I have faith that things are going to change for the better. I have to keep that. That's, you know, it might just be just my feeling or what I want to happen. But I sure want it badly. I do. I'd love to be able to say, to sit and watch that man lead. If they have to drag him out, I'd love to be able
And they will. They will have to.
Because, you know, he's not going to go. He's not just going to go without trying to. They've tried to influence the courts judges and to try to get them to not extend the time for the votes to be counted. That's okay, because so many votes have already been counted in record numbers around this country, like they say, like it has never happened before. People are
never
fed
happened
up.
Before.
That's right. People are fed up. Yeah. They want change.
What characteristics make an ideal presidential candidate, do you think? Like, if you could build the perfect presidential candidate, what would you look for?
Well, I don't think there's a perfect candidate. Everybody probably has a flaw, some type of flaw, but anything would be better than what's in there now.
I think so. And I think whoever she is, it'll be so much better for all of us.
I love that answer.
Barack Obama was voted in, they made the Republicans made it, and they voiced their thoughts. They said from day one they were going to block everything that he would try to do. Everything. They said that.
Yes, they did.
Whoever comes in next has got a hard road. Yes, you know, they've got a hard road to fight. But it's okay. It's better to fight and be able to have hope. It's better to be able to think things can be okay. Right. We've got to try to stay strong enough and stay together, you know, to make things, positive things happen for all of us. We've got, because look, in spite of all of this that's going on, we've still got climate change rolling through.
That's true.
You know, if we run out of water, then what difference does it make what color we are?
That's right.
There are some people who don't believe that they need to vote or that their vote matters at all. And what would you say to those people?
Every vote counts. Your voice counts. Look what happened in 2016. Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote. But there were so many, like in Michigan, I was horrified that Michigan ended up being a Trump supporter. And so many people didn't vote. I think they said about like 34% of the voters in Michigan did not vote. Why?
Were
you
too lazy
or what? Or you figure, oh, my vote won't count. It does count. Every
vote that's sad.
It's sad.
I was thinking, you know, the Constitution left out, it says we the people of the United States, in order to be a more perfect union, establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility. They talk about every man. Okay, so they left out women and they left out people of color. But you know what? We're here. We're here now. And we have the right to cast our vote, if only to show that you as an American citizen have that right, have the right to try to put designated officials in place that will work for the people. When they talk about we the people, they're not talking about Trump. They're talking about us. This is our country. And we the people are who make laws and who make people be in leadership in our country. And we've got to come on. We do. We do.
Wake up.
We have to come on to it.
Wake up.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Christina Michelle. I am interviewing Suse Green, Sherry Payne, and Joyce Vincent. These ladies are former members of the Supremes. And we are going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Good afternoon, Juno. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm Christina Michelle, your host, and I am joined today here via Zoom by Suse Green, Sherry Payne, and Joyce Benson. And these ladies are former members of Motown's The Supremes. We have been having a wonderful discussion today, just getting to know the ladies a little bit and also just finding out their stance on some of the things that are happening right now in the world as far as the Black Lives Matter movement and the political campaign. Is there anything that we did not talk about today as we close out the show that you would like to discuss?
Well, our next engagement is in Cincinnati on November the 7th, and it will be streamed.
Okay.
And that'll be on our social media where you can stream the show.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So November 7th, and we can find that information on your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the website is SherryAnnSuse.com, no space, that's all together. And we'll also list that information on the BAA Facebook page. You'll be able to find a link to the ladies' website to get that information. And Suse, you have something exciting coming up that you mentioned.
Yes, indeed. I also want to mention that we have been nominated for our single Unconditional Love, which I wrote with Jeffrey Chin, for National Song by the Black Music Association in Hollywood. So we're very excited about that. And I just want to mention a new show that's coming that's called Capital Code. And it's with my friend Anita Vadavatha.
Okay.
We're hosting and co-producing this show. Capital Code is about the perception of capital. Most people think of money when you talk about capital. But what we're doing is examining the machinery of capital, which means branding and influence, social media, all of these different aspects of our capital, the things that when you do something and you have a cachet, you know, a reputation, let's put it that way, it's what it becomes and what it creates that creates capital. Even capital cities we're going to examine. So we're very excited. And that will be as well in all of our social media. And we hope you guys will come watch us have these lovely conversations with people from all over the world, literally, and what their perceptions are and feelings are about capital.
That's a very interesting concept. That sounds like it's going to be fresh and new, very innovative.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. You can follow our ladies on social media through the link on their website. Again, their website is SherryAnnSuseFormerSupremes.com, all together, no spaces. And they do have a link to their social media on their website. Ladies, it has truly been an honor. And I think I mentioned before we started recording that I told everybody that I was doing this interview today. And one of my friends said, "This is the bucket list thing that you forgot to put on your bucket list." And she was absolutely right. It's the thing that I really needed to do that I didn't know I did. And I'm so happy that I got the opportunity to do it. It's just been such a pleasure. And I know our listeners, you can't see it, but I'm looking at these ladies on Zoom and they are just so full of light and love and positivity. Like, all of you are just glowing and you radiate that. And just strength and wisdom that comes through. And so I appreciate it so much.
This has been so much fun. I loved it.
Thanks for having us.
And I hope you must
look up Thais Walsh, and you look so much like her. Thyais Walsh.
Okay. Yeah. She does. You look like you'd be her sister. Yeah.
I'm writing it down right now. I'm going to go find my twin.
Yeah. She's been in one of my plays, The Lady in Waiting. She's been a fan. Because I do write plays, stage plays, and screenplays. Mm-hmm. She's one of the lead actress in the last play we did here in Hollywood, Lady in Waiting.
Fabulous.
Walsh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a great play too, Sherry.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. And to our listeners, we will be back again next Thursday. We thank you for joining and tuning in today. And we look forward to sharing again with you in a Juno afternoon on next Thursday. Until then, be well. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye.